ask you to continue praying the time that we stand before you this evening. The elder that I hear preach the most is Elder James Conley. And that's a good thing. I've enjoyed his preaching, especially recently. I don't know. It just seemed like he spoke to my heart and the things he's preached to us. And many times, the thing I preach on, the next time I preach, is something Brother James preached on. I don't try to re-preach his sermon, but he guides my thoughts. And that's the biggest problem I have, and Brother James will probably concur. The preacher I listen to more than Brother James is Brother Mickey. And I enjoy being preached, too. That's why I look forward to our special meetings, when it doesn't follow my life to preach, but I can be under the instruction of those that have a wonderful gift and those that are blessed to teach the Lord's people. But last time we were here, last time I was here, Brother James preached to us about teaching. And he started, I think, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, about verse 1 and verse 2, continue in the grace of God, which is given to us in Jesus Christ. Paul went on to say, these things that you've heard me preach among many witnesses, teach them to faithful men that they may teach others also. It's important what we teach. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter. Everyone in this congregation tonight is a teacher. We're going to teach by the things that we say, by the way we conduct ourselves. I want to be a good teacher. I thank God for the good teachers in my life. You know, Paul was a teacher of a young man by the name of Timothy. He taught him many things, and I don't know of a better instructor than Paul. You know, Paul was an amazing character to me. I love reading about him. I love studying about him. You know, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is, he said, 5 times was I beaten of the Jews, 40 lashes save one. 195 times he was hit across his back with a whip, with a cat of nine tails. Can you imagine the scarring Paul must have endured and the pain that he must have endured? He said, thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And Brother James mentioned last week about all the perils that he faced in the care of the church. But what did he say about it? He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. How indebted are we to our Lord tonight at Union Church? For those who've endured all things for the elect's sake and taught us how to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Aren't you thankful for your teachers? You know, there's some sad things in Scripture. There's some sad verses in Scripture. I remember Brother Ricky Harco pointing them out one time in a sermon, and other elders as well. In the book of Genesis, it talks about a time when Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot was of a good lineage. He was a nephew of Abraham. And basically his adopted son. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think it is, that Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know anybody like that? I do. I know some who have forsaken the things of God for the pursuit of what this world offers. I'm thankful tonight that I don't believe they lost their eternal salvation, but I believe they lost the joy of it. Oh, may we live in such a way that we never lose the joy of thy salvation. It was given to us. You know, there's another sad verse in Scripture, in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 13. Solomon writes unto us that, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. There's some that sit in this church and heard the things I heard. In a sense, they did. They heard it audibly, but right now, they are not obeying the voice of their teachers, and they have not inclined their ear to the ones that instructed them. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in charity, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He said, till I come. What does that mean? I'm coming to see you face to face, Timothy, but until I do, you give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift. Brother James mentioned this last week. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He also went on to say in the last verse of that chapter, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, that in doing so you may save thyself, and I'm probably not getting this exactly right, and them that hear thee. Friends, I trust tonight, I encourage us, I beg you by the mercies of God that you obey the voice of your teacher and incline your ear unto them that instructed you. I'm not talking about just the ones that stood up here. I'm talking about the ones that when the doors of Union Church opened, they were here. They were here faithfully. Brother James mentioned, I love looking at the pictures out there. I love looking at those pictures. And I thought about it. I never really thought about that, Brother James, but the presbytery is a domino effect. The only way that somebody could have the exact same presbytery probably is to be ordained at the same service. It's probably the only way. Because there was a lineage there, or a chronological order of those things. As they were ordained, they become part of the presbytery. As they were ordained, they became part of the presbytery. And I never thought about that until Brother Jane pointed it out last week. I don't think I had that thought. But friends, we need to obey the voice of our teachers. Not everybody's had teachers like I've had. You know, one time Nicodemus went to our Lord and said, "Rabbi, we know." I think he said, "I know that thou art a teacher sent from God, because no man can do these miracles unless God be with him." Jesus Christ is the master teacher. How do we know what he taught? Read this book. Read this book and pay attention to your teachers, the Bible scholars, the ones who have read this book. I understand. Brother Doug talks to me about retirement every time we get together, and it's not far away. And I pray and trust that retirement, if it doesn't bring anything else for me, will bring more time to study this book. I know, I've heard my daddy say before, I know there are ministers who have forgotten more about the Bible than I will ever know. But we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. At workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not bragging on me. When I taught U.S. history at school, I loved it. I was passionate about it. I've forgotten a lot of it now because I hadn't taught it in years, but my students sometimes would say, "Coach Myers, how do you know all this stuff?" And my response to them was, "How can you teach what you don't know? How can you teach what you don't know? How do we gain knowledge of things? We study to show ourselves approved unto God, not unto man." My job tonight is not to come here and impress you about how much Scripture I know. Well, If I ever convey to you that I'm here to make a name for myself, you ask me to step down. We're here to exalt the name that is above all names. One that Nicodemus acknowledges, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher sent from God. Aren't you thankful that we had a teacher sent from God? I know I am. I mention my school experiences quite often in my efforts to preach. And if you'll allow me, I want to talk about a couple of these that seem that I mentioned here before, but I think about them often. One time I had a young boy, he was in my sixth grade class. This old country boy, very respectful, pretty good student. Well, he probably didn't put forth quite as much effort as he could have, but he was a good student. And I'm not trying to imply anything there. But his dad got killed at Laird's Crossing. A log truck came through the intersection and hit him and his uncle. His daddy and his daddy's brother, which is this boy's uncle, and killed them. He had a stepmother who was teaching him and her biological children to shoplift. How to do it, what to get. They'd go to stores in Brookhaven, Macomb, Summit, wherever. And these young people were 12, 13, maybe 10, 12, 13 years old, and they were shoplifting and got pretty good at it. He came to the bus out to the buses one morning. I was out there unloading the buses, and he asked me, could he talk to me? And I said, yeah, sure. So what you got? He said, no, I don't mean right here. I mean where nobody can hear us. So we went around the other side of the buses where there was nobody, and he began to tell me about this situation, and he said, Coach, I can't do it anymore. He said, I've stolen for the last time. He said, I can't do it. I said, then let me get involved. I called his grandfather, who was a good man. Now, he's deceased now, but a good man. God-fearing man. Not a primitive Baptist, but he was a good man. And I called him and asked him, could he come up to the school? And he said, yeah, I'll be there. Tell me what time is good for you. I told him, and he showed him. I told him what was going on. He said, I appreciate it. He said, I'll take care of this. The next day, the boy came to school, and you know what he told me? Coach, I moved out of my stepmama's house and live with my grandpa now. The boy went on to become successful. Another time when there was a black man in that community at Bogachita. I mentioned him here before. He died at age 64 left there battling with cancer. He was a pastor of a church there at Northfield. Had a booming voice. I'd love to hear him sing. I heard him sing at funerals. When he passed away, I was asked to speak at his funeral. But he's the one that had three grandsons that he raised. They were very athletic young boys. One of them, amazingly strong. I saw him deadlift 640 pounds one time. That's a lot of weight. 640 pounds. But the oldest one of the three boys got in trouble, a little trouble at school one day, and I asked him, it wasn't anything real serious. I asked him, I said, does this something mean you can handle, or do I need to call Brother Blackwell? He said, Coach, if it's just the same to you, let's me and you handle it. He didn't want Grandpa coming to the school. But I loved it when Grandpa came to the school because he smelled like exhaust from a home light chainsaw. And it made me think about my great uncle Hugh Laird, who went off to World War II. He was married, left his wife, went off to World War II to defend his country. And while he was gone, I didn't know this till later in life. I thought he never got married, but his wife found another man. And I don't know exactly all the details of that, but Uncle Hugh never remarried. But when I was in school, if I had straight A's, my mom and daddy expected it. Uncle Hugh appreciated it. That was $5. I'd rather show him a report card than my mom and daddy if I had all A's. But I felt like, you know, I could almost hug Brother Blackwell when he came to school because he reminded me of something from my past that was a good memory for me. And when I spoke at Brother Blackwell's funeral, I told him, you know what the Scripture says? Paul said one time, said, "You'll be saved if you keep in memory the things I preached unto thee." I tell those grandchildren, I said, "If you remember how your papa taught you, it's going to save you." I said, "Not eternally." And I went on to express my belief about that this was a timely salvation. And I began to tell them about what I felt about salvation. That, you know, the Bible says no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, some people think that you can lose your eternal salvation. And Brother Wayne Myers used to say, "Brother Russell, I got a better story for you than that." No, you can't lose it. You can lose the joy of it, but you can't lose it. Oh, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And there was another white minister that was there that day. He prayed. I don't think he spoke, but he came to me after the service and just thanked me for preaching that. He said, "Because they don't teach that at this church. They teach that you can lose your eternal salvation, and they needed to hear it." I don't know if they took it to heart, but friends, I pray this, that I'll never try to teach anything that's not scriptural. Oh, I don't want to confuse the saints of God. No, that's the last thing I want to do is I just want to stir up your pure mind with remembrance. I want you to think about what a blessed character you are. I want you to understand that you are a teacher. And to give thanks for the teachers we've had that come through this church and in our homes. Aren't you thankful for the ones that have taught you? You know, in Scripture tells us, and Brother Dan, I tried to preach on this sermon at Lexi Sunday. I'm going to preach on it tonight and might pick it up here again Sunday. I don't know. Because I'm not going to get through tonight. But do you ever get through? Aren't you thankful you never get through? No, it's a never-ending story. There's always something else and something else. But you know, the Bible tells us that we are too. It speaks in one place in Scripture about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, the songs that we sing, I know when I was a kid, I used to like songs but more for the melody than for the message. You got to be careful with that. You've heard me say before that, and I wouldn't offend any of you for all the money you could put it stacked inside this church. But thankfully it's not in our book, but I do not like singing the song "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." That may be some in your family's favorite song. If it is, if I go to their church and they sing it, I may not sing along. I may not. I use my cough as an excuse. No, I don't need an excuse. Friends, there won't be a roll call in heaven. I don't believe that for a minute. Why do I know that? Because John chapter 6 explains to us all that the Father giveth me. He said, "I came down from heaven." Let me get that part. "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." There will be 100% attendance on the day of the resurrection when we get to heaven. There'll be 100% there. Everyone that our Savior died for. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That every single one that the Father gave the Son in the covenant of grace before the world began will be with Him in heaven because of the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. I love thinking about that. Oh, I love thinking about it. Why? Because we have a perfect Savior. He's perfect. Why is He perfect? Because He is, not was, He is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. We're to teach each other in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. do the songs we sing. It's not 100% in our book, I can tell you. But is it backed up by Thus Saith the Lord? Is it scriptural? For example, there's a song that I dearly love in that book, Psalm 128. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Is that scriptural? Oh, yes, that's scriptural. The Bible talks about before he was ever born, his name shall be Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Emmanuel, that's a name for Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, I think it is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It talks about a day when a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Did the thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day? In a sense, he did. I believe, though, that he was just awestruck by the suffering of the Lamb of God. He was on that cross. He said, I deserve to be here. This man doesn't because he's done nothing amiss. Think about that tonight. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. And when he bowed his head at Calvary and said, it's finished, it was finished. The work that the Father sent him to do. He said, I came down from heaven. Don't just read over that. Don't gloss over that. He came down from heaven. He's the only one. The only others that are coming down from heaven are the holy angels that's coming back with him when he comes back the second time. You've heard me say before, I've had people tell me about my wife that if she could, she would have come back from heaven to be with me and those children. No. No, she wouldn't have. As much as she loved her, she wasn't capable of the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, perfect love casteth out fear, don't it? Sometimes I get afraid in this life. I'm not proud of that. Sometimes I worry about things that usually the Lord takes care of for me. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Oh, we don't have to worry. We do. I think about my children sometimes. Oh, I think about the world we have to grow up in. I get so frustrated at times. I just realize more and more about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11, 11:13, which refers to us as pilgrims and strangers on the earth. You feel like a pilgrim and stranger sometimes? I do daily. Oh, I get a lot of anonymous letters at my office. Ooh. I have to try to think about Antioch and Union when I get those anonymous letters. There was one I got Monday when I returned to work that let me know that there was a family that moved from the West Lincoln School District to Natchez Avenue in Brookhaven. And she was giving me 1 week to get that child out of West Lincoln School, or she was calling MDE. If MDE calls me about this situation, I'm going to have to think about Union and Antioch again. 2 weeks left in the school year. Friends, if I can't stand you, and you can't stand me, it does not give me authority to take out anything on your children or your grandchildren. Do you feel like you're a stranger and pilgrim on this earth? I do. I got nothing nearby going to get finished tonight, but one another verse that Brother James mentioned last week that I love. I think it's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. You know, in Scripture, when those disciples had witnessed our buried John the Baptist, they went to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to tell Him all the things they had seen and they had taught. And the Lord told them, said, rest a while. Rest a while. And He taught them many things. Oh, I love that in Scripture. You know, when in Mark chapter 1, there's a lot of things that happen right there. I'll close this evening. In Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist is preaching. Jesus Christ is baptized. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted of the devil, not as we are. He never entertained the idea of sinning. He couldn't. But the Bible began to tell us things. And it tells us another place that before the Lord chose the disciples, He continued all night in prayer. He prayed all night before He chose those 12 disciples. Have you ever prayed all night about something? I haven't. I woke up and prayed again about something I'd prayed about before I dozed off the first time. I've done that many times, but I've never prayed all night long for anything. Maybe Saturday to say, even when my wife is battling cancer, I did not pray all night. Let me see where I was going with that thought. And when he chose Peter, or Andrew and Simon, who became Peter, and James and John, the Bible says they went into Capernaum. I think it was on the Sabbath day, and He taught them. He taught them. Oh, that's that master teacher. That's the one that Nicodemus pointed out that thou was a teacher sent from God. But you see what he was doing there? What he tell him? He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And I've had other people way off base on that. They think that we're supposed to reel them in and populate heaven. Friends, I've heard ministers say before, you can burn all the Bibles and you can lock all the doors of the churches. And the foundation of God's tenets you're having to seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He will save them into an eternal sense when in the day of the resurrection. That last day that the Bible talks about. But I love what's said there that, when they went into Capernaum, the Lord taught them. That's the best teacher you can get. He didn't expect them to teach right away, did He? No, He expected them, said, you come with me. Come and learn of me. Just take my yoke upon you. Brother Sam Bryant said one time when he was a younger boy in the old Baptist church in his area of the country, when a member came forth, or one of the worshipers of the church came forth as a candidate for baptism, he said it seemed like they expected him to have some kind of long testimony. You know what you got to do? Just walk this aisle. How many times have we had those walk this aisle and one of the elders of this church would ask him, is there anything you want to say to the church? And they would respond, no, sir. Oh, actions speak louder than words. I've heard some wonderful things that people shared. You know, when they started sharing, you know, that, oh, when I came to this church, I felt at home. I felt like what was taught here was of God. I appreciate the sweet spirit here, and I want to be a part of it. All that's good. All that's good, but He said, just take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Brother Sam Bryant says, just come be a part of it and learn as you go. Don't worry about, you know, that we sing a song, if you wait until you're better, you'll never come at all. That's been my experience. You know, I used to think, and I hope something else retirement brings, is more opportunities to go to meetings in other places, Brother James. I feel like I've been tied down to a great extent to this area, but I used to think, you know, I don't need to go out to those meetings until I learn how to preach. Well, that's a dangerous mindset, isn't it? Launch out in faith. Oh, yeah, study to show thyself approved. You know, sometimes I feel like the Lord blesses me to preach. I don't know if that's your sentiment tonight. It must be. You keep giving me this opportunity to stand before you. Let's remember that we're teachers. We're teachers. I thank God for my teachers. This is a faithful group right here. Pretty much every Wednesday night we get together. And isn't it a blessing to come to the Lord's house at the appointed time? I trust this evening, if you get anything what I tried to preach, you acknowledge the King and continue to pray that I may become a better lamb feeder and sheep feeder in the future than I've been in the past. But this is important, friends. What we're doing here is extremely important. Oh, he said, forsake not the assembling together of thyself as a manner of some is. Oh, present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Nothing unreasonable about this. What do you mean? I got to drive from Bogachita all the way to Ruth on a Wednesday night? Oh, yeah, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I'm feeling better. And I trust that we'll have many opportunities in the future to continue to worship here at Union Church. I trust there'll be some calling upon His name when the Son of God comes back. Wouldn't that be a sweet consolation to know? I don't know if He's coming back in my lifetime or not, but I know this. He's coming back because He promised that He would. And He cannot lie. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this evening.